Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Let's just kick it right off. John Gruden, had that 10-year ridiculous $100 million contract for a coach, and it was ridiculous. You know, he just had the right guy who fell in love with him, Mark Davis, and paying a coach that kind of money was ridiculous. But anyway, he lost the gig and lost the money. So now he has a lawsuit against the NFL, and he is suing the NFL and Goodell for leaking the emails that, of course, he wrote while at ESPN. Ephraim, somehow he sent the emails through his company email to the Washington football team. Not the brightest thing in the world, right? If you're writing disparaging stuff about people. And now he feels like he was forced to resign and he wants damages and the NFL made him out to be a scapegoat and all that other stuff. And he wants money and he was wronged. Hello? Is this on? John, how about if you didn't write the damn emails? How about that? I get what you're trying to do. Ephraim, what he's trying to do is scare the NFL into making a settlement so that they won't release all the other information. We want discovery. We want to go through the emails and point out what other people said, right?
Yes.
So what they do is, you know, threaten the NFL with a lawsuit so that they'll settle and give him a parachute and give him money. How dare you? How about apologizing for the crap you said about women and gay people and black people and everybody else you trashed along the way? What about that? How about the NFL not leaking anything if you didn't say it? And then people go, well, you know, there's other stuff in there from other people, and they just wanted to get John Gruden. So do you know that for a fact? Does anybody know? You know what happens during journalism? Is that somebody, Ephraim, has to read through all these emails just looking for a nugget. That's what happens.
Yep.
And they just so happen to find the John Gruden nugget. Hey, Adam Schefter's caught up in it as well. They found a nugget from Adam Schefter. You think that there are other juicy nuggets that aren't being released? Come on, man. Stop.
You don't think so?
No. I don't. I don't think
650,000 emails.
I don't, and I'm gonna tell you why, Ephraim. Okay. It's a work email.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well,
so we've
seen that, and conventional wisdom would tell you that people know better than to send disparaging things through work emails. But also, history would tell us that plenty of people have been fired for that reason exactly. Right. Like, it may seem like a no-brainer not to do that, but there are a lot of people out there with no brains who do things like that all the time.
No, there's no doubt. And then they say, well, what about Bruce Allen? What was his – Bruce Allen's not in the league anymore. It's somebody who's currently working who – that's why John Gruden's name is even important. It's because he's a head coach and a coach of men and had these things to say about certain people. So it does put them in a different light and a different... You're going to go after Bruce Allen, who's not in the league? What are you going to go after? He's not working. So my point is that people who think... And I'm not saying that all 650 were gone through, okay? Because what happens is, if you find a nugget with John Gruden, those might be the ones you start looking through.
Yeah, you're right. And look, we may not want to take this lawsuit serious because we are in agreement that, first of all, you shouldn't have been speaking like that, right? Like, just
right. Shame on you.
Shame on you, especially, I mean, you just got to have common sense. Obviously, he doesn't have that. We get that part of it. But from a legal standpoint, he does have a leg to stand on. Because
what's his leg? Tell me what his leg
is. Well, those emails were leaked to the public.
But happens all the time. It's called investigative journalism.
But wait one second. None of the other emails were leaked.
So, yeah, but you don't know if there's anything in those.
It doesn't matter what the standpoint he's coming from. And I'm not trying to make excuses for his actions or what happened to him. Let me get that clear.
Okay.
That's not what I'm doing. I'm with you on that. He should have been fired. Right? Shame on him for what he did. But legally, if you're building a case and you're the only one out of 650,000 emails that people got a chance to look at publicly, then you do have a leg to stand on. There's something wrong there. You get what I'm saying?
No, I hear what you're saying, but unless you can prove, and all I'm saying is you might go through all those emails and not find anything else of that degree. I'm not saying that there aren't some things that are in there, but of a fireable offense, you might be surprised to think, to figure out that there's nothing else in there, because most of the people aren't of that ilk, aren't of that level to be able to. Now, all I'm saying is I get what he's trying to do. He's trying to recoup some of the money he lost. I get that. And legally, he could file a lawsuit. I hope the NFL fights him and not settle with this guy and not let him get any money for the things that he did that were wrong. You could talk about the process. Where's John Gruden groveling about what he did, and I'm talking about, and what he said, and how he feels, you know, how he feels today that he's trying to recoup money over really answering the question and making public statements or talking to people or trying to do right by people and explaining why he had so much venom and vile against people who didn't look like him or act like him.
Yeah, I don't agree with him. I think he should have been disciplined in the way he was. Just reading the complaint from the lawyer, and it's 21 pages, so they just put little snippets out there. It just hints on the fact that why wasn't he fired? They had these emails. They read the emails. They knew about the emails, and nothing happened until they were released to the public, right? Like, so when you're building a case as a lawyer, all of those things matter. Like, okay, all of a sudden this comes out. You have the emails. You knew about the emails prior to the article, prior to the reporter getting a hold of the emails. Number one, how did the reporter get the emails? Number two, why are my emails the only one in the article? Number three, why now after the emails was I being forced to be fired? Like, all of those things you can take to court. Now, will the NFL play this out and be forced if a judge rules that all of the emails should be made public? Absolutely, you already know that's not going to happen. You know that's not going to happen
unless the government gets involved.
Right,
they've asked to see the emails as well.
Exactly.
The NFL might not have a choice. But that all I'm saying is, it might not mean that it's as juicy from everybody else's.
It may not, but it doesn't have to be juicy. It could be a little thing, right? It could be one little comment, right? It doesn't have to be as salacious as it was with John Gruden. But some of those emails people don't want out at all. If they're forced to turn those over, then this is going to get to be a bigger story.
It's not
going to
undo what
he did. It will not.
And that's the part that I think people need to understand. It's not going to undo it. It's just like Donald Sterling. Once you heard the tape for yourself,
It was over. Now, if the NBA had released that tape, then it would have been something else. But it was a disgruntled girlfriend or a mistress or whatever she was.
And she could have said the same exact thing, and nothing would have happened to Donald Sterling, right? Oh, she's a jilted side piece, mm-hmm. and she's making stuff up, right?
Yep.
But once you hear his voice,
once you hear what he was saying, it's like, oh, brother, we got a situation, we got a problem,
dude. He was done with that team in a couple days. You remember? I mean, like, it was lickety split. They were trying to get the playoffs going.
Yeah, it was. The players were like, if he's not going by this date, then we're not playing. And I think that was the first time we realized just how much power collectively NBA players have And I'm not talking about individual like a Michael Jordan or
no,
or Magic.
This was the league.
We're talking about a collective group saying we're not going to play, period. And the owners got together because you got to remember, in that, the owners refused to vote for him to sell the team at the beginning of that. They didn't want to do that. And when the players came out and said, hey, nah, we're not going to have this, then that showed – where the power dynamic was. And
right.
In the NBA.
They were in the middle of the playoffs. Yeah. They would have lost millions of dollars.
Yep. That's exactly right. And, you know, just to put a bow on the Gruden thing, look, what he said was terrible. Right? His sentiment, his behavior, his train of thought, the way he spoke about people, the things he said, nobody wants to hang around that dude. Right? Like, that's not a friend of mine. It's not a friend of yours. It's not a friend of America.
Right.
But when it comes to legally how things happen to people like that, that's where they find ways to – all he wants to do is get another check, a big check.
No,
that, right?
There's
I mean,
no
he,
doubt
was
about
he missing
it.
Out on, what, $60 million?
Yeah, he's trying to recoup that.
He's
and
trying
that's
to recoup
what
it. Yep.
He's going to go after the NFL that has money, but they also have lawyers – who are on retainer, who they pay anyway, right, every year.
And you know the NFL don't like their business in the street.
Exactly. So just like they settled with Colin Kaepernick, right?
Yeah, well, they don't like, this is something that the NFL does. They will do all the arbitration in the courts and all of that, and then next thing you know, it'll be like the case settled. With John Gruden,
I'd be shocked if they give John Gruden $60 million.
No, I don't think it'd be like that. I don't think it'd be like that. But if something happened to where those emails got out and they weren't supposed to, then we got an issue.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm George Reister, host of the Reister or Wrong podcast. This is the intersection where sports, business, society, and pop culture meet the truth. Absolute fire on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Facts only. Make sure you check your feelings at the door because no BS is allowed. We keep it 100. This is where real conversations happen. Listen to the Right or Wrong podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But let's turn our sights, and we brought it up a little bit with Kerry Rhodes about Patrick Mahomes. And Chris went out on the ledge real early and said he was Jordan-esque, like he was Michael Jordan, the next Michael Jordan. He has not played like Michael Jordan. I don't remember Michael Jordan ever having these kind of struggles. And I was really always put off by it because I thought it was just too soon. I'm not saying he's a bum or he wasn't great his first couple of years and he deserved all the accolades, right? He won an MVP. He won a Super Bowl. All that. But it hasn't been all that of late and he's played poorly. Ephraim, I'm not picking on him. I'm just, right? He's played poorly.
You're not picking on him. I mean, the proof is in the pudding, right?
Right. Like, but people, you know, when you say something, they think, he hates Patrick. No, he just hasn't played up to the standards that mostly he set for himself, right? Which was a good thing because people expected a lot from him. But there was a story in the Athletic where they talk about Ephraim, whether or not he's still a tier one quarterback. And first, let me get just your thoughts of his play this season, and then we'll dive into this, and then we could hash it out. When you watch him now, do you see a different player?
I do see a different player. I see a player that is trying to force things. Now, when we talk about Patrick Mahomes and, you know, what he's turned into, his passing rating still with his struggles, or it's 93, 92.5 or something like that, right? He has 20 touchdowns, 10 interceptions.
That number's high because if you look
high
at the last two
it's
years.
It's very high. Yeah, he's only been in double digits.
He had 11 in the last two years.
He's only been in double
years,
digits one time, and that's his first year, full year starting. And, oh, by the way, he had 50 touchdowns that year. So that number is high. You look at his passing yards per attempt, and it's down a whole yard, yard and a half, at 7 yards per attempt.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening is teams are not allowing him to have big plays down the field, right? They say, okay, look, we're going to double cover Tyreek Hill wherever he goes.
Because that has really changed. That they cut off that force.
We're not going to let him do that. So what we're going to do is we're going to force the underneath throw. And that's Kelce in the middle, which they hit sometimes every now and then. But now linebackers are dropping so deep into that zone because they can't run the ball.
Right. So they're not worried about somebody ripping off 20 yards. Right?
You can get all the 20-yard runs you want. That's not the way the Kansas City has attacked people. They like to score in chunks. They like to get yards by the bunches. Having them drive down the field 15 to 18 play drives is not what they want. Once that starts to happen, they get a little restless. They want to start forcing the ball. And if you can rush them and get pressure on Mahomes, although his offensive line is better this year, then you can drop the necessary defenders in coverage and take away the deep threat. That is the recipe for beating them. Now, on the flip side of that, how do you respond, Andy Reid? Okay? How do we adjust our game plan and the way we play to combat how people are playing us now? And, oh, by the way, the biggest thing that hurts the Kansas City Chiefs is their lack of focus mentally with the penalties.
Terrible, terrible penalties.
And I'm talking about by all pro players, by starters, by all Pro Bowl players. Like, you can't jump off sides. You can't rough the passer.
Remember that D Ford one in that AFC? I know that he's not there anymore, but
right,
that was
but
a huge
those,
one.
But that was something that was starting to rear its head. They've been able to get away with this for so many years because Patrick Mahomes was so superior. You can erase those mistakes. We saw that in the Super Bowl run they made when they were behind by double digits every single playoff game.
Yep. Houston should have won. Don't you remember? Houston was up like 23-0
yes,
or something.
Of course. And when you develop bad habits and you can erase those bad habits with superior play, then you don't learn from the bad habits. We're seeing that come to fruition right now in 2021. Those bad habits they're stopping them from having that same success because teams have adjusted and taken away their superpower.
Okay, let me give you this. On Sunday against the Packers, the Chiefs were held to just 237 yards, Ephraim, in that game.
It's crazy.
The lowest amount since Patrick Mahomes became Kansas City's starting quarterback in 2018. He was 20 for 37, 166 yards, a touchdown, averaging a career low. This is against Green Bay. 4.5 yards per attempt, 54.1% completion rate, was the third lowest in a regular season game for Mahomes, and 166 yards were his lowest for him in a full game. Kansas City's averaging just 24.6 points per game, 15th in the NFL, 15th, and the lowest total in the Mahomes era. I mean, the stats are mind-boggling. Mahomes is also responsible for the most interceptions thrown, 14, Ephraim, since week 14 of the 2020 season.
Mm-hmm.
Over the past 5 games, Mahomes' level of play has declined. His 33.6 QBR since week 5 ranks 29th. 29th out of 32 quarterbacks, right? He has also thrown the same number of touchdown passes, 6, as interceptions. And the Chiefs were averaging just 5 yards per play, one of the worst rates in the league. And over the past 5 games, Mahomes has thrown 6 interceptions and fumbled 5 times. He's only lost 2 of them. His 12 turnovers on the season are already 4 more than the had last season. He's already four more, and we're only halfway through this season. So the Athletic did a big story, and they talked to GMs and anonymous coaches and whatnot, and a lot of them start to question what they're seeing and what's happened to them, and there's just been a big shift on the opinion of Mahomes. Here's one voter. Quote, some of his turnovers are just bad. Like he's falling down, throwing the ball. But the problem is he got away with it early in his career, Ephraim. This is what you were talking about. So now he thinks, well, I can always get away with it. The no-look passes, stuff like that, end quote. And all along, I kept bringing this up to Chris. And, you sound like a hater because they weren't interceptions, but they keep a stat, basically like passes that should have been picked off or bad passes that people dropped or didn't make the play on or whatever. And they were always high. He was getting away with it, and now it seems like it's balanced out. I think part of that is those things are now being caught, and he's trying to be cute. I don't know if you remember the jump play in the end zone where.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You remember
Absolutely.
That?
Yeah.
What was that?
Bad habits, man. When you've been able to ice skate on razor blades, and you don't cut your feet, then you keep doing it until you cut your feet off. We're seeing him cut his feet off right now. Those bad habits. Look, teams aren't going to stand pat and allow you to do the things that you like to do. Not good teams anyway. And you look at the teams that they've beat this year. When you look at Green Bay in that first game, I mean, they only scored 13 points, but Aaron Rodgers didn't. He got benched.
Right.
He didn't even show up.
He didn't even play right.
He was still doing Jeopardy. They beat the Giants. They lost to Tennessee. It was a good team. Hard nose, punch you in the mouth. They beat Washington, right, with no Fitzmagic. They lost to Buffalo.
Oh, wait a minute. Were you saying the first game of the year? That was the Saints. Were you talking about that?
I'm going the other way.
The latest, okay.
Right?
Yep.
So when you look at the teams that they were able to beat, Phillies and, the Cleveland.
Right.
But they lose to Baltimore. They lose to the
they
Chargers.
They gave up an 11-point lead at home, if you
right?
remember, in the
Buffalo.
Fourth quarter.
Like, all of these teams, these are good teams. These are the teams you need to be able to beat to go forward. And even if you make the playoffs, to do something in the playoffs, they're struggling with those teams because those teams – don't want to hear about Patrick Mahomes and how special he is and what he can do and any of that. So they're put in a position where if you're not fundamentally sound and doing the little things as a team, then you can't beat good teams. That's period. And that's what we're seeing. They can't beat good teams because they're not a good team.
How about this? Patrick Mahomes said he's not planning on becoming a conservative passer anytime soon. I don't think anybody wants him to do that. I think you want him to be smart. But here's his quote. Quote, I mean, I'm going to take shots. The last few years, I've taken those shots and they've worked. I've taken those shots and they haven't worked. And he's talking about as well this season. And we've still been able to find a way to score points. Whenever I got a guy with a chance to make a play downfield, I'm going to give him a chance to make a play. And I get that. I mean, you're not going to not throw to somebody who's wide open downfield, but I think he has to be not go conservative, but not take as many risks and not force the ball, Ephraim. Is that the right? Not to force it.
Well, the problem, when you talk about mobility and Patrick Mahomes and his abilities to get out of situations. I mean, he did have surgery on that foot. He's not as mobile as he was. We saw him hobbling around the playoffs last year.
People don't talk about that. That's a good point.
And you have to, like, he's not, and even watching him run, it's like, okay, he's not running the same way he would normally run with that foot. It just happened. It hasn't healed all the way. From what I'm looking at and watching him scramble and try to get out of situations, he just doesn't look as fluid as he once did. And that's also adding to the problem of moving the pocket, him getting himself out of harm's way, setting his feet, and throwing the ball down the field. We're not seeing that type of accuracy and strength out of him because his lower body isn't where it needs to be right now.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
OBJ, picking the Los Angeles Rams, there are people, the jury's out if it's going to work, if he's going to accept his assignment. I'm assuming he is if he's going there, knowing he's not the featured wide receiver. They got Cooper Kupp and a couple other guys who are good young receivers, right? They're rolling along. They're scoring points. It's not an issue for the Rams. But the story came out that he really wanted to go to Green Bay and play with Aaron Rodgers. That's what he really wanted. But Green Bay, facing a $40 million over the salary cap, decided, we'll take you. Because remember, he's getting the loot from Cleveland, right? He didn't get it off Scott. He got a salary from Cleveland in his back pocket. He just wanted more. Green Bay offered the veterans minimum, which would be, right, Ephraim, a prorated, right,
yeah,
of how many games that are left. So it's not that rich, but he could have gotten a chance to play with a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. They have receivers. I think on the Packers, he might have gotten more action. No, maybe. Than the Rams, no?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so he would have gotten a little more action. He would have got a chance to play with, finally, like a supreme quarterback talent. But he chose to take the extra money from the Rams and go there. Did Green Bay make a mistake, Ephraim, by not, you know, going all out and offering them like what the Rams did? Just, here's $4 million with incentives. Or did Green Bay just say, dude, you said you want to win. You got the money from Cleveland. Here's what we got. Come here. Give us a chance. We've been in the NFC Championship game 2 years in a row. We got the best quarterback right now. He says no.
No, I mean, because Green Bay is they got money to spend right now. But, you know, not next year. They're under the cap, $4 million under the cap now, I believe.
Right, $40 million over for next.
For next year. So in terms of a one-year rental or half a season rental with a chance to get back to the Super Bowl, no, I think Green Bay did shoot themselves in the foot. They're very heavily dependent on Adams. And when you have one superstar receiver, teams double-team him. And then your other guys, Scantling, and these other guys have to
– Lazar
have to step up. But when you have a supreme talent and an OBJ, the old OBJ, it's hard to double either of those guys. So that helps your chance, especially for a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, immensely. And I'm sure he would have wanted that to happen. So to me, I think the Green Bay, if he wanted to go there and play in the cold – I think they made a mistake.
I think OBJ made a mistake. I think he won't be the factor that he thinks he will be with the Rams. I know everybody thinks they're going to the Super Bowl and they're going to win the Super Bowl. The jury's out on that as well. Against the best teams, they're 1-2 this year, including the two losses being at home in the three big games they've played. But anyway, I'm not there yet. And I think the Packers, who have been able to, you know, play pretty well and win some pretty big games. We saw the game against San Francisco, right? 37 seconds. They went to the desert against an undefeated team without any. Aaron Rodgers was missing three of his top receivers.
Yeah.
And they won that game.
They won that game.
I mean, that was against an undefeated team, and they were playing on the road. Like, that to me was one of those games where you look at a quarterback and you say, this is the guy you want who can win something sometime when you don't have all your bullets, right?
Yeah.
Anybody can win when you have all your bullets, Ephraim. Sometimes you got to pull it out of you know where and just kind of win. So I just wonder about, you know, OBJ and really, you know, where his thinking is. And I'm not saying that the Rams aren't in the mix for the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that.
I get it, but you gotta know your worth as a player as well. You know what I mean? Like, there'll be plenty of time for him to take pay cuts and all
right.
of that. Like, he's fast approaching 30. So on the other side of that, it's a slope. So you gotta, as a player, you gotta know your worth. We never really got to see his worth in Cleveland from chemistry wise as well
to
as injuries. So he still regards himself as a top receiver.
But he hasn't been that
he
for
hasn't,
like 4 years.
He has not.
Am I right?
You're right. You're absolutely right. And NFL is, what have you done for me lately? The Rams were willing to set up a contract where he gave him a guarantee, 1.2, and then allowed him to earn another 3 in incentives.
Right.
Which, okay, I'll take that. Were there incentives available in the Green Bay contract? We don't know. We don't know what that is.
That we don't know, right. But they did offer him just a veteran's minimum. And what is that now, Ephraim? Do you know?
I believe it's 700, 750 okay. or something like that, I believe.
Yeah, 750. I think you're right on that number.